come before you at this point in the service, Lord. We're looking to hear from you, Lord, from your divine word, Lord, words of life. I pray, Lord, that you'll speak to us this morning, knowing each and every one that's here and what every need is, Lord. I ask, Lord, for you to speak to those needs this morning. We ask you to direct us in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. I want to read from the book of Luke, St. Luke, chapter 1. I want to continue speaking on no fear. So this will be, we spoke on no fear last Sunday, and I just want to continue to speak on that. This, strangely enough, I've made mention at the house when I was inspired to this and studied through this. I said, after I get done looking at it, it sounds more like a Christmas message. And I would have saved it, but it's what was laid on my heart for today. So trust the Lord to give me another something for Christmas. Amen. Verse 26 of Luke chapter 1. And in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God into the city of Galilee, named Nazareth, to a virgin espoused to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. And the angel came in unto her and said, Hail, thou art highly favored, the Lord is with thee, blessed art thou among women. And when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying, and cast in her mind what manner of salutation this should be. And the angel said unto her, Fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God. And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb and bring forth a son, and it shall be called, and shall call his name Jesus. He shall be great, and shall be called the Son of the Highest, and the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David, and he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there shall be no end. Then said Mary unto the angel, How shall this be, seeing I know not a man? And the angel answered and said unto her, The Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the Highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore also that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. Amen. You may be seated. When we read this scripture, one of the first things that comes to mind studying this scripture is how did Mary feel when this angel appeared to her? Something of this sort had not happened for many years to anyone, and here she was, just a lowly maiden. And, you know, Brother Branham talked about every time that the angel came to him, he said it scared him. And how that the coming into the presence of that angel, and I just wondered if it scared Mary at first. I feel that it did, because the angel said to her, Fear not. So it really startled her. And then to think that after the angel told her these things that was going to happen, then to think of that poor mother, everything she was going to have to go through, because she had not been married to Joseph yet. She was just engaged to him. And here she was to be found with child before being married. And what a reproach that must have been in that time, in that day, and more so than it is today, that she be found with child that way outside of wedlock. And then what she would have had to, you know, think of what she would have to go through. People were going to say, was this Joseph's? you know, or what. And you know, even when she went to Elizabeth to tell Elizabeth about what had happened, Elizabeth at first thought in her mind, the Bible says Elizabeth first thought perhaps her and Joseph had, maybe they had got married. And Brother Branham says on that, I mean. And you know, what people must have thought, well, did her and Joseph, did he know her before they got married, or had she been with somebody else? And of course, it was going to trouble Joseph's mind, and what she must have felt and what she was going to have to go through in order to go tell him, look, an angel came to me. And he said that I was going to conceive of the Holy Ghost. And I think of all the things she was going to have to go through, that it would have caused in anybody in that situation, it would have caused fear. Fear of what all, she didn't even know what all she was going to go through, but she did know that that was a great reproach in those days. And that it was really something that was really looked down badly, evil upon, as being something evil, in other words. And here she was going to have to bear that. And but the angel's words that he spoke to her from God, then those were there to comfort her that she could go forward and do this without fear. And of course, then she had to come tell Joseph. And once she told Joseph, how was Joseph going to take it? What was he going to do? Well, we can gather from the scriptures that after she had told Joseph, Joseph didn't do anything immediately. But Joseph, the Bible said, was minded to put her away privately and not to make a public spectacle out of her. And he was minded just to put her away, divorce her privately, and let it go at that. And the Bible says while he was thinking on those things, that he had a dream. So here, while he was thinking on those things, he fell asleep. You ever fell asleep with something on your mind? He certainly, definitely had something on his mind when he fell asleep that night. And he was trying to know what to do. And the thing was, he must have loved Mary. Because he, not just simply because he was engaged to her, but because that he didn't want to make a public spectacle out of her, that he thought, well, maybe I should just do this just privately, behind the scenes, not to bring more disgrace on her. So he must have loved her. And so with him having a love for her, and then having this to think about and to deal with, how that it must have really been troubling to his mind. And he must have really been torn because of it. Should I just take her? Should I put her away? What should I do? I don't know. She's told me this thing that an angel came to her. I've never heard of such. And says that she's a virgin, but she's going to conceive, and that's impossible to happen. I don't know what to do. I'm just so tore up over this. And he falls asleep. And then an angel comes to him in a dream. Now, you know, a dream is God's secondary way of talking to people. And, anybody can dream. Not just because you have a dream does it mean something. And, of course, there's a lot of people today that have dreams, and they think, well, this symbol means that, and this symbol means that, and this means that, and you can even Google it and all these things and all that. But what's that? The dream that Joseph had didn't need any interpretation. That God interpreted the dream. So if you're going to get a dream from God, the dream's going to be like Joseph's dream. It's going to be just say exactly what it is. And it said, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that thing which you conceive is of the Holy Ghost. And so you imagine then Joseph waking up from this dream. How it must have settled something in his heart. Because he believed what was spoke to him in the dream. And it coincided with what Mary had testified of an angel coming to her. And there was something about this dream that just so took a hold of Joseph that he believed it. And here, this thing that he's been all tore up over, it was of the Holy Ghost. You ever got tore up over things? And yet, you don't know. Sometimes we get tore up over things and then come around after some time passed, we find out it was all in God's hands after all anyway. It was all just going along just perfectly with the program of God. But sometimes the program of God troubles our minds, our human minds, because we don't understand. But the thing was, he should have believed Mary if he would have only looked at the word, because it had been prophesied by Isaiah that behold, a virgin shall conceive and have a son, and he shall be called Emmanuel. And so if he would only looked at the word, it would have stopped his troubled mind right there. But being as how we're human and Joseph was human, God had to come to him in a dream and give him a dream to move him, to show him. And you think about what new faith he must have woke up with. That when he awoke, his faith had anchored. He had faith in God. He had faith in his wife. He had faith in these things that the angel had told him in the dream, and had faith in what the testimony that Mary had gave him. And what a newfound faith that that Joseph had. And once this had happened, it settled every question that he had. And it's that way in our life when God will come and speak to us, that it can settle every question that we have in our life. And I'll tell you this, Satan is there to try to offer as many questions to you as he can to try to get you to doubt God's word, or doubt yourself, or doubt that God would even speak to you, or doubt that you belong to God. But once God speaks, it just settle all those questions. Brother Branham said Joseph woke up, he was happy. His burden had been rolled away. And yet, think about what he was going to have to go through. Taking Mary to wife, and here she was expecting with a child that wasn't his. And, all the rumors that he would have to deal with as well. And there would be as many people to criticize Joseph as there would be people to pity him. I'll tell you, if I was him, oh, that spirit ain't ever died. It's still around today. There's still plenty of people, look at other folks' situations and say, well, if I was them, this is what I would do. Well, you ain't them. So look at your own situations and see what you should do about them. But Joseph was happy. And Brother Branham said, Joseph must have had such a connection with God that God could come and speak to him in a dream that way. Brother Branham said, God will come to any good man. And identify his doings to that good man for the age. Now, it doesn't mean all the time God comes down and says, here, Jerry, let me talk to you a little bit and explain to you the situation. But sometimes God will open my eyes to where I'll be able to see what's going on. And I've had times where I didn't know what was something was going on at church, and I didn't know what was going on, and I prayed. And I asked God, God, take the lid off this thing. Show me what's happening. And God's come to me in a dream before. And in the dream, took me to a scripture. And the scripture opened up to me what was going on in the church. And then I was able to deal with it. And the thing was, I had the dream, the same dream, three times. And Brother Branham said, when you have the same dream the same way three times, he said, that's the same as a vision. And so God will come and show you if you'll just ask him. Brother Branham said also, he said, if revelation seems to be beyond you on something, he said, just pray and ask God for it. It's that simple. You don't got to sit around and mull it around in your mind and, well, I wonder if I can get this to fit together in my mind, my human thinking, and where I can understand it. No, you just pray and ask God. He'll open it up. Sometimes for God to open it up, though, you have to lay aside what your thought was on it. I had don't want to go into it too deep this morning, but just to give you an example, I had a thought of my own that I thought I had got from the message concerning the foolish virgins. And I kept looking at it and kept looking at it, and then another minister said something to me about it. So I talked to that minister several times and told him, well, this is what I'm looking at. And he says, he showed me something that he saw. And I thought, God, I want to know the truth on this. And I kept standing firm saying, well, I read this and I read this and I read that. Then I said, Lord, I prayed and I said, Lord, I'm going to lay that down. And I'm not going to think on that. But I'm going to just wait on you to open this up to me so I can see it and know for sure what it is, the revelation on this concerning the foolish virgin and that. And what it was about who actually could be in that foolish virgin's category, was what my thought was on. And the Lord opened it up to me. I was traveling over to North Carolina, and I was playing a tape, and I had another brother in the vehicle with me, and we were listening to a tape. And while we were going, the Lord just opened it up to me. And then I saw what I couldn't see before. It was revealed to me. And when it became revealed to me, it just opened up so many more things. That's where I got to preach a message on dollars and quarters and dimes and nickels and that. It was all from God opening it up to me. And if you'll just ask the Lord, lay down what your thoughts are, he'll open it. He'll reveal to you whatever it is that's laying there that you can't seem to see. Now, think about all the things that began to happen during this time when they were having this child. And that word came to Herod, there's going to be a king born, a king of Israel. And Herod, in his jealousy over being king and his paranoia, he became very paranoid that he ordered that all the children, all the baby boys should be killed. You know, there's only one other time in the Bible where you hear of somebody, some king or somebody ordering all the baby boys to be killed, and that was the time when Moses was going to be born. So here we got a king of Egypt, and the devil comes on him and says, we're going to get rid of this deliverer before he even gets started. We're going to kill all the baby boys. It's the same spirit that came on Herod and said, before this king can be born, we're going to destroy him so that I can go on being king. It's the same spirit. It shows you Herod wasn't right. There was a lot of things wrong in that man's life. Besides the fact that he had took his brother's wife, you know, besides that fact, there was a lot of spiritual things wrong in Herod's life. And here he was, king over Israel. He was an evil king. But think about it. If there would have been a good-hearted king, then the things that must happen would not have happened. And Joseph, he had to take Mary to Egypt. So something had to force him to take Mary to Egypt, because in the Bible, the prophet had prophesied and said, I have called my son out of Egypt. And so to fulfill that prophecy, something had to move on the scene to get them to flee and go to Egypt. And so it couldn't be a good-hearted king on the throne. It couldn't be a godly king on the throne. It had to be an ungodly, evil king on the throne at that time. That was according to God's plan. See that sometimes things like that's hard to understand and see. That it would be in God's plan to have this individual there. One of these days, friend, we're going to have an individual in the White House, and it's going to be according to God's plan, and he's going to be the one that sets the final cogs in motion. So they went to Egypt. It couldn't have happened at another time. It had to happen at that time, just that way. Had to be the right man in office to bring about the prophecies. There's prophecies spoke of this nation. There's going to have to be the right guy in office someday to bring, to know for them prophecies to come to pass. There's some prophecies about this nation that I don't want to be around to witness. I want to be gone when those things happen. Because there's some things that if you were here to witness, it would just be too late. Get right now while you can. Brother Branham says this in his Wonders to Perform. He says, and if you'll notice how it could not have happened in another time, how God in his great wise providence, how that he moves every cog just to hit at the right time. And that gives us faith. we think, oh, everything's all topsy-turvy, and there's no way out. Don't think that. It's just God making it work exactly according to his time program. When you begin to think, well, this just looks like a mess. Don't worry. Look, friends, you have to believe your destiny is in God's hands. And it had to be that these baby boys were going to be killed. Because a prophet had prophesied and talked about the cry of Rachel crying for children and could not be comforted because they were not. So that prophecy had to come to about. It had to come about that there would be a cry in Israel crying for their children that could not be comforted. So they had baby boys, Herod had baby boys killed. Then, according to God's time, Mary was due with child, due to give birth just at any time. And then it so happened that it in come the time of the year that everybody had to report back to the city of their birth to be taxed. And so Joseph and Mary were going to have to make this long trip from Egypt back to Bethlehem with her due to have that child at any time. And they didn't have, it wasn't like she had an ambulance or something to ride back in. It wasn't like she had some cushy vehicle to get in to take her there in a few moments' time. But they had to travel on foot. And the Bible says that Joseph took and placed her on a donkey. Now, I don't know how many of you have ever rode on a donkey or even on a horse. But it's not smooth. And having a mother that's just due at any time on a ride and on a donkey, it wasn't a smooth ride. It wasn't a comfortable ride. There might have been times when Mary thought, I think I'd feel better off if I just got down and walked. And you think about the time that they were coming back. There was a lot of caravans traveling. Many people traveling back because it wasn't just them that had to go back. Everybody had to go back to where they were born to be taxed. So it was a time when it would be a good time for robbers. Highway robbers to attack these caravans, especially just a man and a pregnant woman going. And the thing about it was, it didn't matter how big or how small the caravan was, you knew they had money because they were going back to pay their taxes. And you think about all the perils they would have had to have went through. And how that when they were thought, what if she has this child along the way? What if somebody comes and does it wrong? What if the donkey loses footing and falls. There were so many things that could have happened. But they had to recognize that their destiny was in the hands of God. And once they could recognize that, then they could have no fear. They wouldn't have to be afraid of robbers. They wouldn't have to be afraid of the perils of the trail and the journey. They wouldn't have had to been afraid of these things. They could have went forward with no fear. We will arrive exactly at the right time. Mary, you're not going to have this baby till we get back to Bethlehem. And see, they were educated people. They perhaps didn't know that all these things that were taking place was actually just the scriptures being fulfilled. That having to travel back at that time for taxation was all in the plan of God. He was fulfilling his scripture left and right. Brother Ram says there's many times that in our midst, God is fulfilling his scriptures left and right, and we don't even know that it's happening. But if you're in God's hands, then you're in his program. And you don't have to worry about it or be fearful of, well, do I know everything that's going on? Will I know it? You don't have to be fearful of. If you're in God's program, then you're part of it. Joseph and Mary was in the program of God. They didn't understand why they had to do the things they were doing or why all those things had to happen the way they were happening, but they knew one thing, their destiny lied in God's hands because he had spoke to both of them and told them they were going to have that child. And he had told both of them, fear not. And Christ had to be born in Bethlehem. So they had to come back to the house of God's bread for the child to be born. They may not have known that. But that's what God was in his plan. And that's what he was working toward. And perhaps once they made it, see, Bethlehem was the place of their birth. That's where they had to go to pay their taxation, their taxes. Perhaps when they got there, Joseph said, well, Mary, maybe in this city is where you'll have the baby. We don't have to be afraid. We've made it. We're in a city. Now all we need to do is we just must find a place to rest. We must find a place to stay so that you can have this baby. And all the inns were full. All the motels had no vacancy. So there was no place to stay now. But that was still all in God's plan. Perhaps as he went from one place to another and said, no, I'm sorry, we've got no room. No, I'm sorry, we have no room. You understand, I've got a wife, she's due to have a child anytime. Sorry, we have no room. And then they begin to think, what are we going to do? There's no room for us to stay. And we know now you're going to have this baby just any time. He was going to have to be wrapped in swaddling cloth. They didn't have swaddling cloth in the inn. It was in the stable. You know what swaddling cloth is? It's the blanket they put on the donkey's back to catch the sweat. Many times we think of swaddling cloth. We think baby, we think some soft, nice newborn blanket, you know. Nope. They had to be born in a manger. Laid in a manger. When the shepherds saw the star, an angel appeared to them and spoke to them and told them that the king had been born. And then they followed the star and came and saw the newborn child laying in the manger. Oh, I tell you, that just sends chills over me. All those things happening. I mean, friends, we look at it because we've seen in Christmas time, we see the nativity scenes and all this, you know. Oh, he's laying in a manger. All these things, you know. But hey, that was something troubling. No place to stay, and I got a wife that's going to have a child just at any moment. They had to get her in out of the weather. They had to get her into shelter. So they went into the stable. There's times when it looks like things are going rough for us. Looks like, boy, I tell you what, surely God could do better. No, God's doing the very best that everything would be according to his word, that it would come to pass. You realize that just as sure as God had an ordained plan for Joseph and Mary, he's got an ordained plan for you and your family. And I'll tell you something. The cogs of time will move exactly right according one with the other until it brings you to whatever it is that part of the program that you are. And don't worry about whether you're going to make it or not. You're going to make it because that's in God's program too. For you to be here this morning was in God's program. So you don't know what's going on in my life, brother. God does. He knows what's going on. Besides, I'm not the one that brought you here. He was. So I don't have to know. But he knows. God wouldn't bring you here just to dangle something in front of you that you couldn't have. God's not like that. Branham says here, he said, it gives us consolation to know this, that we do not hold our destiny. God holds our destiny. And he has ordained it to be so. And there's nothing that will ever interrupt the program of God. We're bound to arrive. We're bound to arrive. Nothing's going to, friends, look, you are part of God's program. I don't care what's going on in your life. I don't care how long has it been. If you remember that song, how long has it been? doesn't matter. God has a time. Moses was 80 years old when God appeared to him in the burning bush. And yet it was still according to God's time. It was according to his program. So surely God could have come and appeared to him when he was a lot younger and sent him back. But Moses spent 40 years estranged from Egypt, hiding out in the desert for 40 years before God appeared to him. You know what Moses' thing was? I'm not worthy. I'm not able. I'm not capable. I'm not worthy. But God said, you are. And at the age of 80 years old, Moses set out to go conquer Egypt. With his wife, his two sons, and a staff. No fear. And when he got to Egypt, he had to stand before Pharaoh. And when he stood before Pharaoh, he had to stand there with no fear. You know why he had no fear? Because he knew God had sent him. He did not know everything that was going to happen. God didn't share that with him. God just told him he was going to bring them out. He was going to deliver them. Moses could have been thinking, well, this will just happen. I'll just go in there and I'll say something to him and that'll be it. But then each time before Moses was going in, God would tell him, no, you're going to go in, but I'm going to harden his heart and he's still not going to let you go. Moses didn't know everything that was going to happen. He'd go in and God would tell him, throw down your stick. Throw down your staff. Take your staff and hold it up over the waters. Speak and let it be frogs. But each time that he had to go before Pharaoh, he went before him with no fear. Even when God had spoken to him, he said, he's still not going to let him go. He had no fear because God had sent him. And God would tell him, I'm going to harden his heart. And then you think, well, that's the end of the story. He went up there and finally with a mighty hand, God delivered him and brought him out of Egypt. That's a wonderful story. A multitude beyond number, this one man had to lead and take care of. But God had called him, so he did it with no fear. To come back to Joseph. Think about the tender care Joseph displayed in taking care of Mary. He did everything the best he could to take care of her, watch out for her. The Bible says he took her to wife, but knew her not until after the child of Jesus was born. So here, Joseph was very careful concerning Mary. And Joseph took care of her with the best of care that he could. And he was able to care for her because he had no fear. What do we fear today? Has God spoken to us? Quell our fears? What is it that Satan has bothered you with that's your fear today? God can settle that. What questions that you have that God could come this morning and settle those questions and you could go forward with no fear? He's here to do just that. Let us stand. Heavenly Father, Lord, you knew everything that would take place in this service. You knew everyone that would be here. You knew exactly, Lord God, what you would have me to speak this morning. Lord, as we said, Lord, that when I was studying this, I thought, my, what a Christmas message it would be. But Lord, it was ordained for today. And I pray, dear God, that you, this word, Lord, will just take a hold of every heart and soul here this morning. Lord, if there's any fear that they've been dealing with, I pray, dear God, that that fear will be conquered today, Lord. If there's any question that they have, let that question be resolved today, Lord. Speak to them, Lord. We pray in Jesus Christ's name. Amen.